What up, what up? We're back, post-show episode 141. We got a good one for you. It's packed. It's jam-packed. We tried to get as much as we could in this week because I'm off to Japan for 3.5 weeks or so. There will be plenty of content, hopefully, while I'm gone. Grant talks about it towards the end of this episode, but we're thinking, he might do like a Twitch live stream to talk about spring anime. He might do a solo episode on the pod. He might have a guest. Who knows? But what you should do to keep tuned in, keep there's a word for this, and I'm not gonna edit out all this fumbling around I'm doing. Follow us on Instagram and on TikTok at Part-Time Otaku Podcast, and you can find the updates and what Grant is up to while I'm away. And also, I may share some relevant Japan stuff on the social media platforms while I'm gone, that are relevant to, anime and TV and all that fun stuff. As for this week's episode, we do the Severin Season 2 finale. We talk about that at great length. We talk about our theories that were proven true and or not true. We talk about nitpicks and theories for Season 3 and just our general reception to it, which is very fun. We do the Solo Leveling Season 2 finale. Let me kick my cat. We do the Solo Leveling Season 2 finale. I'm still not re-recording this. And then also White Lotus Season 2 Episode 7, the penultimate before the season finale. There's some news sprinkled in and out throughout all of that. And then we briefly talk about The Studio, the new Apple TV series by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. And finally, we end on a very light note. We discuss briefly Adolescence on Netflix. I have not seen it. Grant kind of gives his thoughts. He hasn't finished it yet, though. It's a fun pod. I hope you enjoy it. I wish, or I appreciate all your wishes for safe travel. And I'll see you on the other side. Please. Oh, hey there, Grant.
Hey, Dave.
What's up, buddy?
Just enjoying the bounty of spring.
The bounty of spring. It's tough because we had like a false start, a week or two ago or whatever it was. But yeah, it's weird to like, this is my first spring in a house.
A lot of water.
A lot of water.
We
It's freaking me out a little
last
bit.
time, now that I think about it, we talked about
Hearing the sub pump
water.
go.
Yeah.
I forgot to turn off my heater. All right, you know what? This is staying in. That's another house tip, dude. I think you might have put me on
Remotes.
that. Well, no, not a remote, a little space heater action.
Oh,
You know what
yeah,
I'm
dude.
saying?
Yeah.
did i
Keep them
talk
toesies
about
warm.
yeah did i talk about like the saga of like I just continually kept blowing breakers down here because of the space heater?
No, you didn't.
Anyway, I just like didn't realize, well, I didn't understand electricity, and to be clear, I still don't.
Sure.
But like, you'll appreciate this. So what I ended up learning or realizing or deducing through the just process of elimination and failure was most of the basement is off one breaker.
Yeah.
Which, it is what it is. It's like you don't really run into that.
Major appliances have their own.
Yeah.
Most rooms have their own. Yeah.
But you know what would get it to reach the threshold and trip the breaker? Not blow. I said blow the
In the
breaker.
basement?
In the basement. It was very, I had the space heater going, but
Okay.
just the space heater wasn't enough to get it to trip. Do you know what it
Air
was?
purifier?
No, it
No.
was gaming PC on.
Oh.
Wait, it's specific. We go
Okay.
further down the rabbit hole. Gaming PC on, gaming,
Sure.
active use, heat, space heater going, Baldur's Gate 3 cinematic cutscene.
Yeah, dude.
The
Chugging.
GPU, the load on the
Chugging.
GPU. And as you know, in Baldur's Gate, you have to have a host. And I
Yeah.
was the host every time. So I
So everyone's just
crashed
chugging along.
everybody's game
Ah,
every single
brutal.
time that happened. And I kept being like, yeah, I really don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
I think there's got to be
Who's
some kind of
this
pattern. This keeps happening while we're playing. I don't think how that could be related. I don't know how that could be related. What are
Yeah.
you gonna do, dude?
Oh, good old Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, but now I got it on another breaker. We're all right.
There you go.
Old school extension cord. You just
Yes,
daisy
sir.
chain 8 or 9 of those things.
Yeah. No damage.
I can't
No
go
cause
wrong.
for harm whatsoever. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Baldur's Gate. We played a little Chain Together there yesterday. That was
Dude,
nice.
that was a hoot. I was like laying in bed shortly afterwards, and I was just like kind of like giggling to myself. I'm like, that's the best $5 I've ever spent. Like,
Yeah.
easy fun.
We need to, we're saying this off mic, we need to like I'm not saying we go like deep down the rabbit hole of like just Steam indie games, but like
sure.
every now and then you are reminded of like where gaming is at and like the wins that exist out there. Like I've paid, you know, for AAA prices that I had worse experience on compared to that. So Chained Together, that was fun. We're late to the game. Like it's been, people have been loving that for a while, but
yeah, yeah.
I think we keep a save file going and just get to the top. And and we'll see how long it takes to do that.
Ooh.
At our cadence, sessions. It might be a while. And I'm okay with that. We're in the long game. We're at the top.
Yes, sir.
We're in the long game. All right.
All right, so here's the thing, right? We got a couple pretty big finales. It's which series you want to give the overall, you know, love to first?
I think Severance Season 2. Because okay. I think there's more... We have to say farewell to it for now. And and then we can roll into anime after we talk about that and maybe White Lotus. Is that cool with you?
Absolutely.
Okay, so obviously you watched it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so this is the only spoiler warning we're going to give. We're already like a week and a half out on Severance Season 2, but there's your spoiler warning. 75 minutes?
Was it really that long? It honestly felt like the fastest episode of the season.
Directed by Ben Stiller.
Killing it. Love to see that.
Fucking man, this guy, dude. I'm sure we've made this joke before, but can you imagine telling yourself, hold on. Can you not? We're doing the thing. I'm not editing that out.
Not enough time.
You guys have any idea how much work that is? But can you imagine telling yourself that like Zoolander was going to be directing like the premiere show on the world's most valuable company's streaming platform in a couple decades after that?
I was watching the finale and I just said to myself, orange mocha frappuccino. It's like, can you believe?
No,
yeah.
But
you liked it though? You're happy? Like, as a whole? It. You liked the finale season as a whole? You're pretty content?
I think I've got, and I had to think about it, but I think I've got a couple nitpicks or complaints, but like...
Sure, I do too, yeah.
But like, I don't know, man. I watched that. You know, where I'm a sucker for endings. I think we both are. Like, I think above all, and you know, it's not like they've landed the plane and completed the series, but like...
No, yeah.
What, you know, I do think, and we're going to get into this, like, there's a good story in season two with what feels like a beginning, middle, and an end. You know, all these love triangle themes we discussed, some of our theories kind of came to fruition on that, but like... I felt like it like had a definitive story that it told, and it sets them up for some more stuff in season three. And and like the actual quality of the filmmaking was pretty fucking absurdly high.
I agree.
Like you know what I mean? Just a piece of an hour of television looking like that with that kind of pacing and budget and cinematography and just like overall quality is wild. It's wild that like. They could put out something like that, and they are guaranteed no critical acclaim, no Emmys, just because like that's the bar just is rising so fast for television. Like we're gonna talk about some other premiere TV later. Like it's just fucking wild. Like anyway, so I really really loved it, and I liked the ending. But what are your general thoughts?
I did like the finale. I felt you know, it's funny. Like I see a recurring trend online of. Like security personnel is like a huge nitpick in season two, and which is not for me. Like I'll say, like I think Lumen has kind of set the precedent for like hubris, right? Like they're, you know, they think they're, you know, foolproof and this and that. And again, like big giant, you know, kind of a fictional, you know, companies like that. Like it's a recurring I'm thinking E Corp, you know, like that kind of thing. They think they're, you know,
suspending your sense of disbelief a little bit, to allow the story to be told, right?
Yeah, but I did find it like. Oddly funny. I think my biggest nitpick is like just prior to the Mark S's throwdown with the Drummond, you know, just like of course that room is just like right there access, you know, like there was a little bit of conveniences in the finale, but like not too enough not to enjoy it. I will say, like, this is not a critique on season two. I think this was just like an error on my part. I feel a little separated from season two, whereas like season one, it was like on. We were catching it the night it aired. You know, we were like super invested. We caught it pretty early. I think we were only behind. I think we missed like the first 3 weeks, and then after that it was week to week.
Off to the races.
But this was like, you know, like missing the date and like falling asleep during an episode and like catching up two at a time. And it was like, I felt like, again, I feel very like away from it. And I felt like there's a lot of going back and researching. So it didn't feel as like, I didn't feel with it as much this season. Again, it's not a critique. I really like this season, but I feel like I'm not like, as dialed in as I was previously.
Right.
You know? So it's like a kind of like a 50-50 feeling about the whole experience. And I definitely feel like I kind of screwed myself on that. But I like it. Like, I like the themes. Like, they really hit home the themes of like, you know, like the, you know, the id and the ego and the self and the not, and, you know, like just the stuff that they've been kind of like, they really breadcrumbed in season one.
Mm-hmm.
It just was like in full show here, like the, you know, what they did, the whole thing, you know, because, you know, love triangles and relationships is a huge theme this season. I think probably like the biggest.
Yeah.
And, you know, the stuff with like Dylan and, you know, his outie's wife, and, you know, the Helly, Gemma and Mark and Irving and Bert, like just relationships was just, and so like realistic, you know, which is in a sci-fi show like this. And, you know, you mentioned like, you know, like, you know, the sense of disbelief and kind of like just turning your brain off. They don't really do that with these characters. Like, they all feel real. And
yeah,
I don't know. I just, for such a sci-fi show and a futuristic show, like, it's so, realized and human, you know, it's a very hard balance. And I think that's its biggest props by the end of the season is, you know, with all the violence and the rage and the distrust. And like, it just feels so natural and, you know, real. I don't know. I really, really dug it.
Like, to touch on something you just mentioned, like, you see whiffs of this in season one, but like, one thing that I think is shown off more in season two is, like, you're right, it is quite a heady show, right? Mm-hmm. It's quite sci-fi. I've had people say like, oh, it's a little too out there for me, and it's like, hey, fair enough. But the ironic part, or the interesting part that is kind of subverts your expectations, is like, once you wrap your head around the severance part, which is not that hard, but once you do,
mm-hmm.
like you're right, like, it is very basic and straightforward and just about like human emotions and whatnot. Once you can,
the
like
stuff that we do see every day,
like, their problems are like very basic grounded human problems, and you're like, well, yeah, of course that person feels this way, like, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean. And of course that might mean that they're going to be at odds with their outie and whatnot. So it's like, they have like this complex plot device,
mm-hmm.
but like, all the drama is like pretty basic kind of rom-com,
the human experience
drama.
Yeah.
Just like, there's nothing that crazy about mm-hmm. the drama, but it's more like the setting and the idea for the show is the complicated part. But once mm-hmm. you like can swallow that, it's like it's just kind of a drama, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That just so happens to take place in like a sci-fi,
mm-hmm.
a sci-fi environment. Okay. So let's talk about some theory payoffs.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to as early as season one, and this isn't me, this is like just the community at large. Mark was refining his wife, right? Cobell comes out and says it, the numbers are your mm-hmm. wife, you know, check. Cold Harbor was like a final test of some kind,
mm-hmm.
For Gemma, refined by Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Check.
And Dylan, I saw.
Yeah, they were all working on it.
Yeah, there's a couple files that they've shown Dylan to be working on,
which is interesting. Like Dylan, yeah, like Dilly, I think, and Dylan and Helly, I think, worked on rooms that Gemma had gone into.
Yeah.
So like, not just Mark, but perhaps, maybe there's something to, they never came out and say that, saw, help me out, they never came out and said this, comma, but, you know, Cold Harbor did grind to a halt in Mark's absence, right?
Mm.
And like, it just didn't move without him around. And, you know, that was potentially the, you know, again, like the hyperbolic Lumen statement was like one of the most important days in humanity's history would be the completion of Cold Harbor. And it's like,
The other thing too is like, I don't think, I think, you know, after having seen like the most, like two or three episodes, Gemma was like targeted from like the very beginning, like the stuff with, you know, the fertility clinic and whatnot. Yeah. I think, is it safe to say it was kind of happenstance that like Mark signed up for the severance, or do you think they were also like kind of like working on him to get him in there?
When you say severance,
for him to sign up for the procedure, like they just kind of make it sound like he just one day he decided to do it because he was feeling so down and whatnot. you think it was a calculated measure on Lumen's part to get him in there? Or do you think they were actively working on her prior to him kind of going the procedure?
I still don't know.
That's like a, it doesn't matter. Like, no, those probably are never get answered, but.
Well, they might. Those are great questions. Like, I think, like, a lot of the big questions that remain are, like clearly Lumen has orchestrated this, but mm-hmm. it's, like, to what degree, right? Like,
yeah.
Is it as simple as she checked a checkbox at the fertility clinic because they were so desperate at that mm-hmm. point in their quest to have children that, like, you know, it said, hey, and you can use my, my organs upon my death for, like, experimental research or whatever, which, like, people check that box every day for the driver's mm-hmm. licenses.
Yeah.
You know, it's a private healthcare facility. Maybe there's, like, and then maybe she really did get in a car accident and they really did just harvest what was there. Or,
yeah, I guess we still don't know that.
Or not, right? Like,
because they said Mark, he saw a body, but it was burnt. So, like, yeah, we don't know. Yeah.
So then what the hell's up with that? Did she really mm-hmm. die and they reconstructed her and just gave him like a...
I don't think so. I think she just kind of got maybe kidnapped.
Exactly. So did they stage it and just give him like a cadaver or like a, you know, a dummy corpse or what or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
So I could go either way on that. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, him being so depressed that he gets severed is an interesting take. Like, did they... Yeah, I don't know. I would.
Was there subliminal messaging that they tried to get him with? The lengths they go to. Like, it's...
And because we've seen... Now, granted, Colbell is on the outs with them currently. But because we saw... And we know how vital she is now in general to the severance procedure, having invented it. But also the lines she was willing to cross on the outside. You know, getting in with his family, becoming his neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, are there limits to what... she may have done or they may have done if they felt he could help their progress, you know what I mean? Like,
I think season three, like a dead ringer move is like Cobell was the one who staged her death. I bet you she played a huge part of that. And like, I wouldn't be surprised if they showed that.
I agree. And the last theory, just to put a bow on this, the last theory that to pay off is the love triangle one. But like, to be fair,
I don't know, the goats sound pretty spot on.
Oh, the goat too. What, yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay, okay.
Dude, yeah. Okay. Let's do the love triangle, then we'll get to the goats.
Oh, the goat thing is so fucking interesting. And I'm still very, very torn on it. But the love triangle thing, real quick, I don't know if you... There were a lot of people coming to this conclusion, and I want to say I would have came to it myself, but I saw it first online, and you know, and then I couldn't get the idea out of my head. But there is a pretty beautiful idea about Cold Harbor. And... you know, the idea, just for the listener to, like, paint this, give context and make it very clear, is, you know, Cold Harbor was to create an additional severance split for Gemma of, like, one of the deepest, darkest memories in her psyche, the crib, right? And what it would have represented to her, like, inner turmoil. And then just to wave it in front of her face and just see if her innie blinks, right? Like, is there anything in there left? That might give her pause in disassembling this crib, right? It's like dangling this incredibly traumatic thing that happened to you. It happened to her literally just before she died too, right? So, you know, this is like very recent memory and whatever. And it seems to pass, right? The barrier's holding, it's working. Mark shows in, he ruins the test. He in QA or software terms, he contaminates everything, right? She's a blank consciousness with no context. A man saying, I can get you out of here, shows up. He ruins the test. But she doesn't seem to know who he is. No. And she was disassembling the crib. It was working until Mark ruined the test. The ironic part is then they go up and down some elevators and they're in and out of their Audis and she's in and out of her other severed consciousnesses. Yep. But eventually he gets her out and Audi Gemma wakes up. And she obviously recognizes her husband. But you can make the argument that Cold Harbor succeeded on any Mark because on the other side of the door is a woman he knows is his wife on the outside. But he feels nothing. He might feel bad, but he's got Helly behind him. This person who is very relevant to his existence. And he makes a very clear choice.
Well, I think the other big thing, too, in the beginning of the episode, and the highlight, genuinely the highlight of the episode, is the argument between, you know, Marcus and
Masterclass in editing.
That was the usage of color and, and, you know, and space and, like, the way they would close up, you know, specifically on, like a heated part of the conversation. Like, it really, you know, just, like, a subtle in. But, like, that was all... It was like he was like going in with like a loaded handgun with the safety off. Like after that conversation, that was the worst thing that, you know. Again, the conversation was going to have because they had to, you know, coax you know, Marquez back in and whatnot. But holy cow, dude! Like it was and like everyone knows it. It's not like it was like the easiest scope in the world. But I knew the second she was referred to as Helene.
Yeah.
Audi Mark, I was like, oh, this is about to go south immediately. And I think that's what we were all kind of not hoping for, but expecting to see. You know, the two of them kind of go at it that way. And it was a total set off. And it was like the trap got, you know, went off too early. And, you know, Marquez caught it. And, man, but, yeah, no, but then the ending and, like, you know, the back and forth and, the deciding. I really loved the struggle that Marquez had making the choice. Because you could feel there is a conscience that, like, he knows, like, yes, you know, they're, like, again, like, but Hallie's here and, you know, it's... Dude, just so many layers.
It's just that woman,
gut-wrenching.
It's not Marquez's wife, you know, like, and on to your point, he, and why would he, but he does not trust Audi Mark.
No.
If he leaves, it's not just leaving Helly and choosing Gemma, who he doesn't really feel anything for at this moment. It's also leaving and knowing I may never wake up again. Because if he does leave and he doesn't believe in reintegration, that will actually work. Like, then he's just shutting himself off. And he never sees Helly.
And we still don't even know, like, is reintegration, like, is that a killing of both selves? And it's, like, a new higher being, and like, an entity, you know?
Well,
like, or is it...
Well, here's two things. So, one, you mentioned the Inioti talk, which had to happen, and they did really well.
Yeah.
And they did ask the question that you just did. Inigo Marcos, well, how does it work? Like, you have 1,000 times my lived experience, so are you going to be 99% of the consciousness and I'm one? Do I get the bottom and you get the top? How does it work? And then Audi Mark's like, well, I don't think that's how it works. And he goes, okay, so how does it work? And it's like, I don't fucking know.
Go ask your coked out scientist neighbor.
We've tried it once and we killed the guy. There's all that. And it's also like, this is also my first nitpick is like, it kind of feels like we got pump faked with reintegration like twice in this series.
A little bit, eh?
Because they do it in episode 2, I think. Or is it episode 1? In season 2, it's either episode 1 or episode 2, very early.
Oh,
Mark says yes and undergoes reintegration. And you start see him snapping back and forth.
Mm.
And then it keeps happening. And then, you know, they go away for it for plot reasons. And then he goes, you know, Rogby floods the chip for him and it seems to be working more, but like it was kind of sold as like a, hey, we kind of flick the button and then it's like we're good. And it's like, okay, well now it appears to be much more of a process that takes a lot of finagling. And we also know nothing about Ragavi. She appears to be just like a plot device for reintegration, which is another complaint. But like, yeah, I don't know, I was really excited early at season 2 when we were like, okay, Mark's doing reintegration, like, let's fucking go. And as it turns out, it's like, this is going to be like a multi-season plot line of him, like, which is fine, but
it's probably like, going to be the forefront of season 3 would be my guess.
I just felt like it was sold as like, yo, we're flipping the button, like, let's do it. And it was like, oh, okay, so not really. We flipped the button and then we went through 8 or 9 episodes of like, it's sort of happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So what is like the end game though? Like, is just Marquez never going to leave the facility? Like, is a coup going to be staged and they're going to start, you know, their own society down there? Like, kind of mole people?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? Like, I think the only way out is to smash the consciousnesses together. But like, that you are then presented with the problem of who gets what and like...
Who has control at any
time. Yeah, like, is it a net new consciousness... like, does the Audi just absorb the small amount of lived experience that the Innie has? Is there a happy ending there? Like,
I highly doubt Severance is gonna have a happy ending.
Yeah, it doesn't. Make 2 cents. Yeah, it feels a little tough. I don't know. You mentioned Petey, and it reminded me of a little Easter egg that I found of, you know, early season 1. They're talking about like Petey because he went through the reintegration and that went well, and. But he said, you know, we could be killing people down there for all we know. And the ironic, kind of hilarious part is the first time, because Petey's referring to we could be killing people down there as he's mentioning the secret floor. where Gemma's being kept. Yeah. Because we don't know what's going on. They could be killing people down there. And the first time Audi Mark gets down there, he accidentally kills somebody.
That was crazy.
That was the best Severance transition they've done. With the finger on the trigger, no gun discipline, no trigger discipline. Yeah. And he fucking kills
Drummond. Yeah, what does Mark S. know of a gun? You know, the concept. Yeah, like just the...
Probably fair to say that Audi Mark wouldn't have known much more.
But... No, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was such a good scene. Do you want to talk about the goats?
Yeah.
Okay.
No Rickon all episode.
He's not a goat.
He's not a goat.
I saw that. I saw the actor doing an interview being like, oh, people on the internet are convinced I'm goats. And I'm a goat. And I'm like... But are you saying this to throw it? Sometimes when they acknowledge it in the press, you're like, okay, so it's a dead theory.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but...
Well, no, because what's the purpose? Was the purpose of the goat sacrifice? It was not necessarily just to like have, oh yeah, we need to do this just in case. This wasn't some weird pagan thing. They were trying to store a consciousness.
This is what I don't understand. So I agree. Like,
yeah.
Especially at least in the edit, right? Like, if you have to... And again, like, they can use the edit... to fuck with you, to intentionally throw you off the scent. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're doing that. But, like, the way they're doing it is, like, Cold Harbor's done. Okay, Gemma, put on the coat, get in the room. Hey, you go get the goat, bring it in. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing all the things. It looks like, and, you know, the head Egan guy is watching with bated breath. It's like, what the fuck are they about to do? And, like, in my head.
They need to put Gemma's consciousness somewhere. To swap it.
So, I thought, too, yeah. I was like, okay, they're going to... Take Gemma, throw it in the goat, and then get the OG Kier Egan and throw him into Gemma. I don't know.
I think that's what the plan was. Personally, I think that's what the plan was.
And, you know, they're saying, you know, Drummond's talking to Brienne of Tarth, being like, is this, you know, the best goat on the market? And he kind of says, like, we're going to imbue, I wish I had the quote, but it sounded like the goat was going to be a vessel, right? Just the dialogue sounded like that. But the part that really fucks me up is was that just a bullet that came out of the wall? It kind of looks like a bullet. Is it a bullet with a fucking, a chip in it? But.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, because why do all that and put the goat in this fancy machine just to blow its brains out? Unless it is just pagan sacrifice shit.
Could be.
I don't know. Because I don't think they showed us enough evidence.
The scene to look at. Is Drummond's death is the trigger pull to see if, because I don't think it was a bullet. It almost looks like a cattle prod, like from
It just got him in an artery, you know.
So maybe it was just a chip, right? Yeah, you know, like you said. So I don't know. I mean, that's worth a look back, actually.
Yeah, but it's a chip that loads into a gun. You know what I mean? So it's like, what the fuck? Yeah, I don't know.
Sci-fi, dude.
Because it's also hard to say, like, what is so relevant. Like, I understand, maybe again, like, we've talked about, like, what's the net goal of, like, Cold Harbor, and it's like, do they productize it and sell it as a way to help people disassociate with any and all negative experiences? Like, maybe it's just about consumer product offerings, and it is just, like, a capitalism thing. Like, just, we want to sell this. You know, we put in one chip, and we can program it for you. You don't go to the dentist anymore. If you're about to die, your any experience is that. You know, just bullshit. Like, or we could say, oh, it's custom tailored to your needs. Like for Gemma, it was all shit she hated, right? The dentist signing thank you notes. Maybe it activates based on like these specific issues.
He's drawing out,
Or it's like that. It's the deep cure lore conspiracy of like, the data, the refining they're doing is somehow a way to like import his consciousness into something. I'm still not 100% sure on that.
Other than like the nitpick, you know, that you've mentioned already, is there anything you kind of felt like you wish had kind of got not wrapped up, but kind of just a little more time spent with? Like for me, I think not that it wasn't like a nothing burger, but they've been really like inclining Milchick and getting to his kind of. It felt like they were like leaning into a crisis of faith at some point.
For a second there, yeah. I think he's wavering.
For sure. So maybe they're kind of just like setting that up for like the following season.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of like, you know, like we got an episode of him slamming into a bathroom door. You know? Like it was just, it felt like a little more time would have been nice. And a little, you know, again, like it was a jam-packed and it did not feel like 75 minutes. But you would think there'd be just a, like a little more of that. But
no, I don't, so
and even Dylan too. Dylan was kind of just felt like, you know,
yeah,
was forced bit back in and
bit of an afterthought for Dylan. I'll give you that for sure. Milchak, like,
yeah,
Milchak. I don't disagree, but I also think like they. And we could talk about this in a second, but they flipped Cobell already, if she's actually flipped.
I don't think she is, but yeah.
Flipping Milchak too easily. Like, maybe he had a really rough year, a really rough season.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple more pushes, and he flips. I don't know. And maybe if it would have felt too easy or convenient to have him flip in this particular moment.
I'm not going to say necessarily flip him, but, like, just but a little more.
Than what
I
he
would
did.
Like to see, like a taste of the breaking point. You know, we saw frustration, but
he's
that was like
close.
Yeah.
So. But I don't disagree. Like, maybe there could have been more of that. I think what I was gonna say, like, so you had critique about like, Cobell's Patricia Arquette's performance as Cobell. I see where you're coming from. Yeah. It doesn't bother me as much as it does you, but like. I really actually liked the Cobell episode that brings you back to her hometown and all that. But I still feel her motivations are a little unclear. Like, I still feel like, you know, a lot of the time, like, our central characters, Helly, Mark, Dylan, it's Milchak to an extent, you can kind of hear their inner monologue at times. Like, what drives these characters?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Milchak just, I kind of believe... just wants to do an incredible job. He's drunk the Kool-Aid so hard, and now it's getting a little rocky, and we'll see that. Like, he want that. I understand his point of view. I understand Helena's point of view. I understand Heliar's point of view. Like, I don't understand Cobell's point of view.
No.
I understand her backstory a little bit better. I understand that she's been fucked around by Lumen.
Yeah.
And that she's pissed.
Yeah.
But she feels
like, like a storm in a bottle. Like, she feels like lashing out. That's a kind of her, like, getting back at somehow. Is we kind of know like the mechanics of why, but to what extent, and you know, what does she really want? What pain does she want to inflict, or what does she want to reclaim back? So
what's her end game? Why help Mark? To do what?
Because well, not, you nothing like good. Him? Nothing good. I think it's
exactly why. Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah, I don't know. I would love...
A lot of conveniences with her and with Raghavi.
Raghavi, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Because, like, they clearly know each other. And, like, that was, like, the...
Yeah.
Raghavi was like, no. Like, if you call her, like, we are out. Like, that woman is the devil. So...
Yeah.
Which I believe. And she is. But, yeah, Severance.
Fuck, man.
They say it's going to be sooner than 3 years. We'll see.
I mean, I'm just... I've been seeing... some early promo for House of the Dragon season 3, and I'm more annoyed than anything. I'm like, you're only starting now? Like, they're only starting production now.
What's that for House of the Dragon?
Yeah, and it's like,
well, because they got that Dunkin' Egg show coming on. They're gonna
I know, but it's
alternate
just like,
back and forth.
Holy shit. It's just crazy that things are I don't know. The cycles are killing me here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway, we could do time on that, but we won't. Do you want to like go back and forth with this in anime? Do you want to get right into White Lotus?
Can we talk Solo Leveling?
Yeah, because that's the other.
I'd love to.
The other big finale that we saw. So we haven't talked in a couple weeks, but it's basically like the last two episodes of season 2. So there's your spoiler warning. Yeah. Solo Leveling season 2 just wrapped up.
Mm-hmm. At least we didn't do it 45 minutes after the premiere, like Crunchyroll did.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. Like, for...
dude, I cannot stand that.
Yeah, for the listeners' reference, like, Crunchyroll has done this in the past for like promo reasons, which make total sense to me. Where they like take like an important moment from a series and put it on Crunchyroll, and it's like, hey, you can watch all this on Crunchyroll. With Solo Leveling, they, without exaggeration, they wait about 45 minutes after the episode airs in real time on streaming and simulcast, and then they post the most climactic moment of that episode on YouTube with a spoiler in the title and a spoiler in the thumbnail. Like, in this one, you know, Jinwoo versus Beeru the Ant King or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, I don't know. That's shitty and weird, but whatever.
I guess stay off social media is like the lesson there, but it's like
it is.
Come on, like.
Okay, what'd you think of the fight and the ending?
Honestly, I was a little nervous in the fight because it was just like this very weirdly animated of like, I punch you, you punch me. And I was like, what the fuck are they doing right now?
Weird tone change.
And it was comical. And it was, I don't know if it was calculated, but it felt like when it kicked, like when the fight really started. And you could just feel like the temperature drop. And it was a total change. Tonal change. Complete yeah. change. I was like, oh, like they must have been having a goof with this.
Yeah.
You know, like he was, I was just kind of like, you guys are really going to do this, right? Like that's.
I was nervous though for a second because yeah. they ate up time doing that. They ate up like a couple minutes of screen time.
And it's like, about a 10-minute fight, and about 2.5-3 minutes is them kind of just like.
Boxing?
Yeah. Very slow mo. Like I slug you, you slug me. Yeah. It looked like a rigged fight. It was standing very, trade. Very strange.
Very weird. I'd be curious to know if the manhwa does the same thing. I've heard that in the manhwa, Jinwoo just rolls over him much more easily. But like, I wonder if there's a boxing intro to the fight.
Interesting.
Just,
I'll talk to Joe. He's read it, so yeah, I'll be curious to see what he says.
Be curious to hear that. But I do agree. Like maybe you know they were doing that as like foreplay to be like, okay, so when it really kicks off, like you'll feel it. Yeah. If so, I think
which
it was, it
I think
did
that was
work.
What
yeah.
happened. But yeah, no, I dude, like it was great. I was, you know, like there's not like a whole lot to talk about, like you know, episode 12, other than the fact that like it looked awesome. It was a cool fight. You know, it was
beautiful,
and just you know, because like the last time we saw him like really fight was against the Demon King at the top of the tower,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and there was like. A trepidation of like, oh, like he's kind of getting clowned here a little
it was
bit. Like he
really
or not clowned. Sorry, not clowned. Like he had to put in a fight. In
and
the
you
effort.
Could argue the girl helped him last second and it gave yeah. him the uppercut from hell. Like he may not have had that opportunity if not for her.
So there is some interesting of like, did he just get that much experience from like beating him and then going into this, or was like, you know, Biru is not even yeah. the same class as, you know, what the Demon King was. So that was all interesting, but the ending of the episode leading into episode 13 of like, what's he going to do to save Hunter Cha. I wanted to talk to you this because I'm not sure. Because I think back to in season one where there's, you know, when he throws down with the B rank association guy who tries to kill him?
Yep.
The assassin
yeah,
type
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's like, I think there is a monologue of like, oh, like this could be me if like I. You know, I learned to love killing kind of thing. And,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
Like, they kind of show what the other side of him could be. Yeah. And it's always, like, kind of been like, oh, like, when is he going to turn? Like, when is this, like, the power, right. like, the power going to yeah. overwhelm him? And they did a really good job of, in this episode, again, I could be completely off base, but I still don't know if he was lying of, you know, did he hear the voice of the healer guy
right.
to resurrect him? Was that just, like, a convenience to kind of calm his friends? You know, the whole, did he actually release him to never use him again? Right. You know, like, we don't, you know what I mean? I thought that was, like, a really cool line. But then, like, the healer guy comes up and he's smiling and he's like, yeah, like, I'm your friend again. You know, like, let me give you one last wave. But, I don't know, did all that work for you or, like?
So it did work for me. I was, like, happy to see it. I don't know, did we talk between now and then about, like, what our theories were?
I don't
because
think so.
There was a week break, right, between what's he going to do with Hunter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and I, you know, the leading theory I had, and I can't remember if we had a pod on it or not,
no,
was like, oh, he's gonna arise her, like,
yeah.
like if it's the only way,
yeah,
and that'll be a step further down like the darker path.
Yeah,
doesn't do that completely. You know, makes total sense. Just res the healer, get the healer to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you though. It like so I didn't in the moment think, oh, this is a play by him to like trick them. I was like, oh, so like. We're showing that he's still very human and that like he is choosing like the humane play here of bring him back, but then release him. And it's like a you know, happy ending because he doesn't even have to order him to do it. He just does it. And then he
yeah.
smiles and then he's released and it's like everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
I will grant you if it is a play and like he has tricked everybody and we learn later that like he busts out the healer in a moment of need because he's still got him, that would be pretty dope. Because, again, I think we are still, and I've seen no series ending spoiler-related stuff to confirm anything.
At this point, I'm good. I'm back
yeah.
with the show.
But, you know, I think they've at least breadcrumbed us a little bit on, like, he may be the bad guy in the end, or something may happen.
Yeah, or even if that's a bait and switch, too.
Yeah, it could be, right? My current thought is that that was not a play, and that was real.
No, I do too, but it's funny where it feels very much like the one thing, but all the evidence is kind of there for it to, because he has hidden this from people for so long. He's still, like, even, like, turn off the camera. Like, it's easy to keep this group contained versus, like, the whole world knowing and whatnot. But, you can tell the mage guy does not trust him. There's a moment on the helicopter when Jinwoo kind of swings back in on the dragon, kills the ants. And the fire guy kind of gives, like, a look of, like, oh, like, he's back. He saved us again. And, you know, it's, so there's some distress there. Oh, him wanting to start a guild. That was cool. Interesting.
It's funny, though, right? Like, that to me feels like a power play. Like, perhaps good intentioned.
I think that's him getting access to high ranking and continuing to level up.
Yeah.
Or a farming, as everyone is saying.
At his discretion, right? Like, I think one of the things that, if you're him, is you may not want to report to anyone. That's probably why free agency is so attractive to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't really want... He doesn't want people to know the extent of what he can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so solve all his problems by finding or founding your own guild. Yeah, also, we have to mention, like, there's a couple teasers for the next arc, right? Like, he goes back and, like, cleans up the eggs. He hits level 100. Did you catch this flash of an item he got at level 100?
No, I didn't catch that.
It's like a full screen flash. It's a blink and you'll miss it thing.
Okay.
But he gets level 100 reward to the Cartanan Temple. It's a key to the temple, which I think is the OG double dungeon where he died and the system revived him, like in the pilot. So that makes me think, like, is season 3 him going back? That could be quite fun. Which also makes me hopeful that, like, maybe we're going to get close to, like, some of the story around
the system
is the big one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy all the arcs as they're playing out, but, you know, they did a really good job with pacing this season with, like, you know, he's trying to get demons and magic beasts to talk to him about it, and they keep getting edited live.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That's clearly the system interfering.
Yeah.
Another thing, and this is also related to teaser stuff, is that towards the very end, we see two magic beasts looking like people come out of the, you know, they appear where the ants all were. This is after Jinwoo has left. And they're looking around, and I don't have any quotes here, but, like, they're talking about, like, why would he... I think we're meant to assume they're talking about Jinwoo. Like, why would he help them?
Mm-hmm.
And it made me have a theory because, of, you know, they also say,
with the ice elf, too, because he was like, why are you working with humans? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they also say, the stench, like, it would really bother her.
Yeah.
I think you're meant to infer they're referring to Hunter Cha.
Maybe, or someone else of similar ilk, yeah.
And maybe because it's the stench of hunters, S-rank hunters were everywhere there. So, like, between the ice guy hint and, like, that dialogue, I was like, maybe the system has changed something in him that makes him identify more closely with wherever all these magic beasts come from, right? And that's why the... Like, maybe they've literally changed, like, his programming, and the human him is dead, and he's now an agent of the system in one way or another.
Yeah.
Like, what if the system eventually gives him a kill all hunters order? Or die?
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
Right? Like, it has forced his hand in
the past. I just count as, like, he has, like, the same IP address as, like, everything associated with the system now. Like,
yeah, he's, like,
if we're looking at, like, on a tech wise, you know, like, they're... So now your theory is Hunter Cha was dropped as a, you know, as a freaking Manchurian candidate and you know, waiting for sleeper code. So we got this stuff with his dad, these two new hunter beasts. They teed up someone who might be on the same level as Jinwoo, working for a different country.
Yeah.
Because they
I don't know again, if there's a name.
They cut to, it's clearly not Japan because, like, they'd know about him.
Yeah.
So maybe it's, like, one of the other adjacent you know, Asian countries. So that was cool. His dad, I'm very curious about what's going on.
Yeah, his dad was mucking around in there.
And they knew he was there, too, which I thought was interesting. Yeah, they make a read of like, oh, should we act on it? He's like, no, like, he's here, like, we're good. Like, let's beat it. But,
Oh, and he enters a bee gate that immediately turns red. Yeah. And then you get, like, an aura farming moment of, like...
Cut back to the season one OP, which was tight.
Pretty dope. And he got Biru as a summon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and talks to him, general rank.
And he can talk, yeah.
So it makes me wonder, like, if, you know, Igris is eventually going to speak, or they can upgrade to a general rank.
That'd be nice.
Or, yeah. But, Biru kind of, like, going in and, like, clearing everything out. And he's like, you know, if that's your wish, flies in, killing all the ants. But, yeah. Dude, like, every week, just so, like, anticipated beyond belief. It's like, when's Saturday going to get here? Like, it's, and again, like, it's, we talk about this. Like, it's a total, like, a primate. Like, it's just like a, you know, like, a Smash show. Like, you know, it's just like, you know.
They can keep half
Bulbong, this... it's incredible.
If they can keep half... Not half. If they can keep this pace, two series completion, they're going to be, like, all-time...
I did see... It's not spoilers in any regard.
I should mention, when I refer to pace, I mean, like, pace of release and also animation quality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They definitely had to keep that. I think this season was quite a huge upgrade from season one. Like, consistently across the board, it looked amazing. When they... You know, multiple, I think, moments in each episode where it was dialed up. Very action-heavy in every episode, which was nice. I think the consensus is if they don't try and, like, movie it, like Demon Slayer or Attack on Titan or all this stuff, which, at this point, it's probably a good chance they will. Because this show is hot.
A lot of hype.
We're probably looking at max 5 seasons.
I dig that, man.
Yeah.
Max would be, 4 or 5 would be great.
Yeah, so
I love that this comes from source material that is one, done, two, people love it. Yeah. Love that. All right.
But yeah, good season.
Hell yeah, dude. What do you want to do next?
Can I just drop two little anime news?
Yeah, hit me up, dude.
The Chainsaw Man Rezark movie is coming out in Canada or North America 1 month after release in Japan, so it's coming out in October 25th, I believe.
Yeah.
So we'll get that this year, soon, which is nice. People seem to be excited. The animation style has changed a bit.
You've read this arc.
Oh, yeah. I like it. It makes sense. I know, moments ago, we were just kind of, like, you know, gasping at the fact that, anime movies are taking over seasons.
Yeah.
Which I don't hate, but, like, when they're dragging us along, it's annoying. Yeah. But, this is a small arc, and it makes sense for a... blockbuster big budget movie like that, like, right. I think this fits the criteria. What they're doing with Demon Slayer,
I was gonna say,
is very much a different thing.
Mugen Train thing, people at that time did agree. They're like, okay, that arc probably makes sense as a movie.
You feel
the same way about this Chainsaw Man?
100%. Yeah,
the only thing is, like Demon Slayer, I we'll have to see which one gets the shorter end of the stick or the longer break. The one thing it fucked up was the pace, right?
Yeah.
It and the release schedule specifically, it messes up, right? Because it takes long to make the movie, roll it out, wait, take a break, do the next season. Like, how long ago was Chainsaw Man's season one?
2022.
Yeah, we're mid-2025.
Yeah, it'll be coming out in the fall. Yeah, so it'll be almost 3 years.
That's tough.
The premiere, yeah.
That's tough. Yeah. What was the other piece of news?
Sydney Sweeney is being eyed to star in the Mobile Suit Gundam movie by Legendary Pictures.
That's interesting. So I saw that. That's
very interesting.
Also,
a couple of weeks ago we were talking about, I had made a joke about, you know, the woman that everyone's girlfriends hates. I was talking about Sydney Sweeney. I couldn't remember the girl's name. I said the blonde one.
Oh.
And yeah. It hit, like, days after it hit me. I was like, oh, but.
That's all right.
Anyway, so this callback.
If we're doing I want to talk about the Sydney Sweeney thing just briefly because, you know, I like Gundam wise. I think I told you, I said it to you. This is all, I don't know if this is rumored or confirmed, but there was like, oh, you know, the next Gundam anime series is going to be written in collaboration with Anno, the creator of Neon Genesis.
On my preview list for spring.
Okay, so if that's legit. Oh, that's coming out that soon.
2 weeks, dude.
Oh, officially going to watch
some Gundam series.
so that's exciting. That's awesome news. And but the Sydney Sweeney thing, it's funny. Sam and I were talking the other day, and she's like, hey, do you see those pictures of her for this boxing biopic she's doing? I think it's boxing. You know, one of those body transformation movies. She's like really bulked up for the role. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's interesting because she's the current hot thing, like mm-hmm. literally. And, you know, that there's always an actor or actress kind of in the space, occupying the space that she's in right now. But like the next career move is like you now have to do something critically acclaimed.
Yeah, big anime.
I mean, you don't have to. I'm talking about the boxing
biopic. Yeah.
Where, you know, you transform your whole body and you tell this intense character story, and it's very Oscar bait, as we know. But I was going to say, like, I think that boxing movie is really going to define what kind of a career that she helps have. Otherwise, you just make more... Sorry. You can still hear me, right?
Yeah.
You just make more of what you have been doing, which is fine, but it's like, you know, the... Shyamalama Ding Dong there, like, you know, he did a couple, it's not really fair, it's not a good comparison, because he's
actually... I love that I made that stick, dude.
No, but he's been in movies, I think he got Oscar nominated for, like, one of his first breakup
He was the youngest. Yeah,
okay, so it's not a good example, but a better example would be, like, you know, you have, you know, actors that have a movie, blockbuster, character piece, and now they're just, like...
Like, I know it's not a good comparison, but, like... In like Jennifer Lawrence, I think, was in kind of her spot for a long time. Like
that's a perfect example.
Yeah,
blockbuster
casted and everything.
Franchise city with Hunger Games.
Yeah,
and then Silver Linings Playbook wins an Oscar, and now she gets to do whatever the fuck she wants going forward.
It's almost like kind of reverse because she's coming out like out of the TV world.
Yeah,
you know, like the
Sydney Smith.
Like,
the Euphoria thing.
Euphoria, and then the first season of White Lotus, and then you know, like she's getting all these like these rom com stuff. But like she's also like. You know, she did the horror move, she did the Scream Queen thing, which is like, that's how you know she's like playing for keeps there. Like, you know, you know, she gets that. She produces all her own stuff. You know, she's very involved. So like, I don't know. Like, I enjoy her. Like, Leanne and I watched on Halloween, Immaculate.
Yes. Sam was telling me about this.
Pretty good. Like, and she very heavily involved, was involved with like, you know, the, I don't know if the script per se, but like she produced it, you know, I think she got points. Like it was really good. We really enjoyed it.
A lot of really intelligent actors in general seem to be, I mean, I don't know how long this has been going on. It's just something I've been waking up to over the last couple of years is big actors seeing the opportunities in Hollywood production wise and being like, I should start a fucking production company and get involved.
Let's make our own stuff,
And she I think she EP'd or got that movie she did with Glenn Powell. I think she helped make that film. Mm-hmm. Like, it wouldn't have been made, period, without her involved. Mm-hmm. So starring, EPing, all that stuff. Anyway, so interesting. There's your Sydney Sweeney moves. News for the week.
But a Gundam movie.
Yes.
So
all that,
curious.
All
so
that
curious.
To say, anytime you attach a big name to a piece of IP, nerdy IP is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like think about Dune and how big Dune has been, and think about if it didn't have the absurd fucking cast that it did. Like, Grant, you still would have been Denis Villeneuve, and we still would have saw it. Mm-hmm. But I promise you, it doesn't do half as well if it does.
Josh Brolin's in there. Zendaya's in there.
Every other character happens to be able to carry their own movie. Like, pretty wild.
That's an all-star cast.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Just last piece of or a quick one is Free Run Season 2 confirmed for January 2026.
Fuck yeah.
Love that. I have the Snow White PR disaster in here.
Dude.
I don't know if we should even talk about that one. No, it's just a fucking mess, and it's kind of funny.
No, I know. It just feels like everyone involved is like kind of an asshole. Like,
everyone
you know what I mean?
Here.
Yeah.
I think the funny thing is like, yes, it underperformed, right? Nobody's questioning that. But the ironic part is like Lion King Mufasa also really underperformed in its first couple weekends, but like after, you know, international markets kept rolling, like that's a profitable movie now. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Like it, you know, no one likes the movie, but like it made its money back and is profitable. And I think it's possible that could have happened.
Sure.
Or may still happen with Snow White. But I'll tell you what doesn't help is the star talking immense shit about the original story that is, you know, for perhaps flawed, but very much of the time that it came from. And then Disney getting so fucking pissed that they have to yank her away from the mic.
Can I give you a fun little anecdote? Which is how I know this is either its own marketing machine or what have you, or, you know, the disinformation, this and that.
Yeah.
Working and adjacent to a lot of men in their late 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
In a blue-collar industry.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they love the new stuff.
No, it's just it's so funny because like you never hear about this kind of thing from in my experience, in my career, I don't hear much about this kind of thing here. But, like, it's made... Like, it's the topic. Like, you know, I come into the yard the one day, and the boys are talking about, hey, here, what happened to Snow White? And they told the actors to shut up. It's like, why are we talking about this right now? You know, it's so... It just goes to show, like, how something like this will catch and kind of go. And it pops up in places. You're like,
yep,
man, can you imagine if, like, the movie just, like, did well and, like, no one would be talking about it?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a, you know, the scales back and forth. I found it so interesting. It was just, I, like, turned on a dime at work the other day. I was kind of what do you know about Snow White?
No, yeah, it's funny. Just, you don't expect... It's weird what ends up as water cooler conversation and what doesn't. Did I have one more thing? No, I got, so I sent it to you on Instagram, and then I was so mad. I didn't realize it was April Fool's today. I got so bad, dude, about Nolan and Tarantino co-directing his last movie.
Wow, dude.
They got me...
As if you even... Like, in what world... You know what I mean?
I'm such an idiot.
I'm proud of you for admitting that on camera.
I'm so stupid. I'm looking at all the details because I had it in my notes to talk about.
Yeah.
And then I started reading it. It's called Echoes of Violence. It's Tarantino's final film. Interesting, he'd co-direct on his final film. 1970s LA setting, detective trapped in a time loop. Leads approached are DiCaprio and Christian Bale, supporting as JGL, Margot Robbie, Christoph Waltz. Scored by Hans Zimmer and Ludwig Göransson.
Dude.
Late 2026 release.
Who posted that one?
I don't... To be fair, a film fucking page I get a lot of news from, but it's April Fool's. They fucking got me, dude.
And I got one today. A band had to change the name after, like, a two-year-long battle of litigation over the name. And I was just like, oh, that's kind of sucks and weird. And then same thing. I was like, oh, it's April Fool's today. But Do you remember, oh my God, I'll never forget this, World of Warcraft, around Burning Crusade era?
Yeah. I didn't know what you were going to say. It's funny.
Every year they always do, like, the April Fool's thing. And it was, like, the first time I had known or got, but they had said Wisps from the Night Elves were going to be, like, the new playable
race. The people were fucking livid.
Yeah. I was like, that's so funny.
Dorks, man.
I remember, like, before Mists of Pandaria, one year they had said there was going to be pandas as playable characters.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, like, kind of like a troll, because, like, Pandaria was coming out soon.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I didn't love that expansion.
The only one of the only ones I didn't play.
Yeah. All right. White Lotus?
Yeah.
I mix that up in my head, not in my head, speaking all the time. I say to Sam, hey, we're watching Light Lotus?
Light Lotus.
I don't know why. Okay, so I think it was a full hour episode.
Yeah.
I expected, to be honest.
Not very exciting.
Kind of expected a little more for penultimate.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll have to see how much of this shit really hits the fan in the finale. I mean, I think they've really got it primed to hit the fan. They've shaken it, the pressure cooker, as much as possible at this point. Like, we need payoff at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, maybe this is just a testament to how much how effective Sam Rockwell's monologue was a couple episodes back. I was, like, actually saddened when he started drinking. Like, I was like, oh no, man! Like, what are you doing? For a character with remarkably little screen time.
I think not. Like, this is like an archetype, but I think this is a self-inflicting person, like, on a serial basis.
I know, but...
And I think that him being sober speech was, like, I'm on the edge, and, like, I'm telling you this because I'm looking for an excuse to break it. That, to me, that was kind of the vibe a little bit.
Maybe, but...
But...
One thing's for sure, like...
Unprepared, the two of them. Incredibly underprepared for, like... That's what I'm going to show. These guys are not career criminals. These guys are idiots.
Hey, you're right. You might be right about that, but what I was going to say was... One thing to me is for sure, he's not relapsing if not for Rick. Not at that moment.
No.
Like, Rick put him in that position.
100%.
And that happened because of Rick. And, you know, it escalates. You know, the whole episode happens.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, you know, they're in a hotel room with a bunch of prostitutes. Mm-hmm. And the guy's just, who knows where that's going to go. But it sounds like he's headed towards where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick's sitting there kind of like with a smile. I'm presuming because he's happy...
His closure,
he feels he has closure, and that's great, but it's like, yo, you just tanked your fucking buddy's, life.
Yeah, sobriety.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or is it, you know, you were sober for a year at least? Like, that's very hard for those, you know.
100%. Yeah, I'm not trying to underplay sobriety.
I was just like, God damn, dude, you motherfucker. Yeah. And I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens to him. Like, how does his story end? Rick.
Rick? Well, yeah. I don't know. It's so weird. Like, you know, you read the threads and all that, and people are like, oh, like, look at him. Yeah, you know, Rick's story is, you know, come to a close. Da 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 da. And it's like, he just, like, whether that's his dad or not, he just flipped a mob boss's, like, chair over. Like, yeah. An elderly man. And, like,
yeah.
I think she's probably more...
With armed security.
Armed security. And I think she has more hands on the wheel in that operation that, like, you know, I think all the characters know about.
Yeah, and so what's he going to do? Go back to his hotel? Yeah. That's run by the woman whose house you just... What are you thinking?
That's like, a 30-second phone call.
Yeah, like, so I... Yeah. That's not over.
No.
Okay, we agree.
But that definitely that is a good spurring point and a good teaser for the gun conflict to come, you know?
Yeah.
So.
The girl trio had a great...
Oh, anxiety-inducing, man. Like,
that was good, because it felt so real.
It felt so, yeah. Like, I've said this every week we talk about it. Like, they come on screen, my chest tightens up. I was like, oh, like, this is, like, that level of cattiness is supremely uncomfortable. But,
I think it's, we're talking about Severance and how, like, things feel grounded, but, like, mm-hmm. this feels like I've sat at that table and watched that happen before. Like, I don't know, you gotta give it up for the chemistry in those scenes. Like, that's pretty it's just weird that I care at all about their bullshit petty arguments, but you do care, and that's like mm-hmm. that's like the whole point. Carrie Coon's character there was making me nervous. I understand why she made the choice she made to leave. Mm. I was like, all right, but now you're just gonna be in Bangkok or somewhere in Thailand just fucking
also
around.
I would have been out that window like way faster if like that exact situation she was under, banging on the door, like clearly the mobbed up Russian girlfriend there, like the jewelry we now know
confirmed they stole it. And yeah. Guy Talk's putting the pieces together at the fights. He saw the guys and is like, wait a minute.
Yeah, Guy Talk is pooched. I'm just saying. Also, like, the date with Mook was very telling.
That bummed me out for him.
Well, for him, but, like, you know, he might be a sad puppy about it for, like, 5 years or whatever. But, like, I think seeing into Mook's personality a little more was very eye-opening. Of, like, I'm trying to find the right way to describe it, but, like, you know, she's, like, kind of grilling him about his aspirations and, like, I thought you would want more. And it's, like, you want to be... I'm, like, you're just, like, an attendant as well. You know? Yeah. Like, it was weird to see her kind of shutting him down and his, you know, complacency in whatever. Like, faith and all this other stuff. It was, like, a lot of, like, you, and then not contributing. Not to say that's, like, her whole character and she's selfish or whatever, but it's just... And then, again, there's, like, also that weird level of, like, their childhood friends mm-hmm. and, like, family friends and all that, too. So, like, you know, him chasing after, or following puppy love after her. And I don't know, just the dynamics in this season are really good. Like, so much more different than the previous seasons, which I like. Like, similar beats, but the type of interpersonal relationships and romances, it's very, very different.
Hard to keep that formula fresh, and they have definitely succeeded mm-hmm. in doing that so far. And yeah, for what it's worth, like, I do agree. It was like Mook has so far just been the prize Guy Talk is after.
Yeah, dangled in front of him, yeah.
And it was nice to be like, okay, so to be clear, like, what are you after? What's her point of view?
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, yeah, unfortunately, a lot of what you want may not be compatible with mm-hmm. our boy here. And, like, he might be coming to that realization. And he may also need to come to the realization, and I think this is his finale, and it may have implications on the story, is, like what do you want, though?
Mm-hmm.
Not, like, what do you want to do because you think the girl will like it. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you specifically want to do? And are you intelligent and emotionally intelligent enough to have that conversation with yourself? Or are you going to see those guys and try to confront them to impress the girl
mm-hmm.
and get yourself into way more trouble than you can handle, which is how I fear it will go.
I thought it was so interesting because, you know, like this type of, not storyline, but like, when he kind of like expresses I don't want to have violence. Like, I don't want, you know, it was just like a very honest, like a heart on your sleeve moment. And like for her, like, completely reject it. I was like, oh, dude, like, you got to find the person who fits your mold, right? Like, you got to find your person. I don't think Mook's it, but
No, it's funny.
And vice versa. Like, I don't think, you know, you're it for her and her for you. Like, it's...
You're right. It's one of the things I end up yelling at the TV. I'm like, you know what, man? Maybe she's just not the girl for you, all right, dude? What? Yeah, you can improve, but goddamn. Maybe she's not a
You're a good-looking, sad puppy dog, dude. Like, there's plenty of people out there for you, man. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I don't know. But, and then all the stuff with, like...
There's... We're leaving out what
The rat lifts? Holy cow, dude. What a... So funny, we were joking in the group chat. I was like, they keep coming at different angles. They keep showing.
They're fucking with us, dude. I don't really know what to expect. I think a theory I've seen other people talk about, and one that makes sense, it is like, I think the father has neglected his responsibilities long enough. Like, I think, you know, one of the seeds they may have planted very early in the season is, I always forget her name, the girl with the bob in the trio, Sam Rockwell's wife in real life.
Oh, Leslie Bibb.
Leslie Bibb's character.
Kate. Is it Kate?
Yeah, she approaches Parker Posey's character early, remember, and says, hey, we know each other, and it's very weird. But, you know, what if she's talking to somebody back home or her husband?
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, the Radcliffe, they're here.
Yeah.
Radcliffe's or whatever it is. Yeah, they're here. They're chilling. And wait, what's this news from back home? He's wanted federally? Well, he's here. And then, you know, and then maybe the FBI, I don't know, maybe it's law enforcement coming in, and then shit pops off with the...
And they see Greg nearby. Or Gary, whatever.
And then Gary's doing his own thing, and then also the guys who robbed the place are armed. Maybe a power struggle ensues.
Spooked out, yeah.
Easy to see. Yeah, he
comes whipping in.
Yeah.
or whomever. Who would go claim him?
Yeah. So we've got a few... ingredients here.
I'm really excited. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like this might be the most explosive kind of scenario. Like, you know, like in season two, like it was all kind of like private and out of the way, the stuff on the boat, and like it's violence in its own way and whatnot. And then, you know, season one was kind of like a delve into madness and kind of how that played out. But I don't know. I think this is going to be big, action packed. It'd be funny if it's not. If it's just like almost like weird happenstance. It's just like over in a moment.
Yeah, but I'm curious. I want a little bit of clarification on the incest stuff. I want a conversation to occur.
And then like the weird vibes of Lachlan and
what is going on?
Piper. Like, I don't know. I don't know who the weird one is anymore. They're all pretty weird.
What's going on? Yeah. I need a... Is one of you adopted? Is one of you abused? What is going on? Mm-hmm. I understand it may not be the show to spell it out, but I need more than you've given me. Yeah. I need something. Something.
I need like a... Oh, shit. Like, you know, he's pouring his heart out.
Yeah.
But, it's crazy how much this episode... Saxon... Or Patrick Schwarzenegger looks like his dad.
Yeah.
The most this episode. I don't know what it was. Like, just like there's like one lean in shot, and even Leanna was like, oh, look at Arnold here. And I'm like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see love it.
Good season.
Okay, I've got one more thing.
What do you got?
The Studio on Apple TV. Have you seen any of this?
I tried.
It's all right.
My damnedest last night, I got through 23 minutes before I passed out.
Of episode one.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. There's two
Last thing I saw was David Krumholtz just. Like, it was just like, you know, kind of like blasting him about Nick Stoller. Top of the director. That's fine. No, you don't want it. That was such a good scene. Yeah. I am in. And for the record, I will be watching this. It was really, really good.
Yeah, so it's early. I don't know how many episodes there are, but...
I think there's three out.
I think three comes out tomorrow. So by the time this airs, there'll be three out. I've seen two. But I think the pitch is very simple. I think Apple... This reminds me, this dovetail... from Severance into The Studio reminds me of Game of Thrones into Chernobyl. Do you remember how they Game of Thrones ended and they were like, hey, you looking for something else on Sundays? Here's Chernobyl.
There you go.
This is such a strong show created. Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg is partner, but they direct it too, and I don't know if they've directed a ton between the two of them before.
Well, Evan Goldberg has like always been the director for a lot of stuff.
Oh, really?
Has he not?
I mean, I know they're writing partners, but, like, they wrote a lot of, like, Apatow stuff and whatnot, I think.
I thought... Anyway.
Maybe I'm wrong. But the point is so far, they've directed... You know, they created the show. They've directed both episodes. And it is very clearly it is very clearly kind of like their lived experience that is probably a little bit heightened, but also a lot of it just makes a lot of sense. It, like Severance, it must be so expensive. It, like, dude, it's like episode two is just wild. Like, you know, people talk about like, oh, it's a love letter to Hollywood or whatever. Like,
sure.
Honestly, it's like a love letter. It's unbelievable. Like, I don't want to overhype, but it's so, what they do is so unbelievably specific. And I just haven't seen that kind of thing before. And it's so Rogan, Seth Rogan, and so Hollywood. Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. Apple's doing this thing right now with Severance and this, where it's like, they're starting to be like an Apple look, where it's like, this just looks so expensive to make. The shit they're doing is so weirdly fancy from a filmmaking and like camera move perspective. Like, even in episode one, which you saw, I won't spoil anything, but like, just think about like the camera shit they're doing. Like, you know how they have the camera here and they go from speaker to speaker to speaker to, like, they're just doing such fancy filmmaking shit that it's like, there's, you, like, out of like, if there's 10 ways to choose a scene, like, you're doing it the hardest possible way. Like, yeah, I don't know. I fucking love this show.
Wow. Two episodes. Yeah. You're that in.
Yeah. I mean, they take an unbelievable swing in episode two. So maybe that's part of it. And
I'm going to watch that tonight.
And I'm, you know, I'm going in with the assumption that, like, okay, they're not going to do this every single time, but like, they
did an episode two. It's safe to say they'll do it again.
Yeah, I'm really, really curious to see how it goes. But I'm, and it's funny because, you know, we were talking about Emmys and stuff, and it's like, oh, White Lotus is, you know, I was like, how do you not give every award to Severance? And it's like, well, White Lotus is looking pretty fucking good, and then it's also going to compete against this for sure. Unless they try, no, they might. If The Bear could be a comedy, this could be a comedy.
Yeah, it's got like Barinholtz and Seth Rogen. Like,
it's comedy. Like Barinholtz.
Yeah, it's comedy. Did you end up checking out Adolescence?
No, I gave it the old pitch. No, but depressing, you know, I got shit, a couple of 14-hour flights ahead of me. So,
Yeah. Well, maybe. So, I didn't realize it was a miniseries.
Yeah, there's only four episodes, right?
Yeah. So, I stayed up late one night, then I went to bed, and I had immense like couples guilt at like the end of episode three. I was like, I should probably stop. This is very much like a Meet and Leanna show. Like, this is British crime cop drama core.
Right, okay.
You know, I was like, this British? Is... Yeah.
No way!
Yeah, it's like Stephen Graham and...
Dude, maybe I should pitch that. Maybe that'll help my aunt.
The guy, one of the main guys from Top Boy, which was a show I really, really liked.
Yeah.
Duchesne from Top Boy. But anyways, I had all those guilt. I was like, oh my god, I'm just like... I'll refresh it. I'll pitch it to Leanna. We'll watch it. And, you know, we'll be none the wiser.
Yeah.
And then I realized it's only four episodes. I'm like, fuck, I'm almost done. I was like, you know, I would be able to like see like the, like six more episodes new with her and like that. So I still got to pitch it to her, but incredibly, you know, like when I was talking to you about it, it's one of the closest things I had said to you. It's one of the closest things to The Wire I've seen in a long time.
Right.
In the realism, like, it feels like, you know, even like some of the cop stuff we watch, like the British stuff, like there's like a layer of like, you know, like let's hit the archetype statements and this and that. Like, this all felt very like cops doing cop stuff, like, you know, we need to build a case. Like, it's hard to describe. Like, it felt like The Wire. Like, I can't put like a thing on it. It's, you know, the verbiage is different and the time frame is different. Like, there's all this emphasis on online and social media and cell phones and how children like can talk or kids talk and code online, like very eye opening stuff. Like, as a parent of like a preteen and like, you know, all this, it was just kind of like, whoa, like how kind of like how the world is kind of working right now. Very dark, very real. Like I said, like it's hard to like without spoiling it, but it's
topical.
Well, it's, you know, like. Like, the whole theme is, like, toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Like, and how it's super targeted and, like, how children, young men get caught into it. And, you know, like, I don't really know how, you know, because I still have one more episode, because I would like Leanna to watch it. I think she'd, you know, she'd love it. Like I said, it's very much like our, like a show that we'd like. Sure. But just kind of even where I left off, like, just such a healthy approach to, like, psychiatry and, you know, like, and, you know, and psychiatrists and how, like, they do their work and how, like, there's so much stuff that can impede, like, an effective conversation with a child. Yeah. And it's so well made. Stephen Graham, he's like one of my guys. He's like, you know, people always say like John Bernthal, people get excited when he shows up in something.
Right.
When I see Stephen Graham, I'm like,
you're pumped.
This is like quality of some sort. Like he doesn't just do junk stuff. Like he's always I don't know if like this is like a story, like it's based on something that happened in his life, if someone like close to his family or whatnot, but it kind of sounds like it's based on true events. And he, like, kind of, you know, helped develop and write this for, you know, like, for today's day and age kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. It was something that happened in the past and whatnot, but he's so good. Like, just like a father going through it and having to watch,
oof,
you know, his young child. Like, dude, it's kind of jarring.
Heavy, to see. Huh?
Yeah, it's heavy, but it's good. It's very well acted. Like, no frills. It's no, and it's all oners.
This is the thing I
yeah.
that attracted me in the first place. Like,
yeah.
It's unfortunate.
That's how you put me on it. Was like, dude, it's a wonder show.
Which, yeah, it's interesting to hear like how our tastes are evolving as we do the pod and watch more mm-hmm. and more stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I that was the number one attraction, and I didn't know it was so dark.
Yeah.
I just heard, hey, it's a number one show on Netflix. It's a mini series, and it's all wonders. I was like, I love all these things,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know that the subject matter. I learned later that it was remarkably dark.
Mm-hmm.
Dark. But yeah,
very good. I recommend to anybody.
Like, yeah. Well, we're gonna have some downtime on the Shinkansen in between all these damn cities we're gonna be in. Maybe a good time to mention. We're gonna be off, or at least I'll be gone for 3 or 4 weeks. Grant may or may not do a solo episode. Jeez.
The plan is I'll do some solo leveling if the system wants to reach out. By all means. No, I think the goal for next week, or in 2 weeks' time, I'm trying to figure out how, like, the mechanics of Twitch works. I've been doing a lot of research. But yes. I would like to do a stream of, like, just going over, like, the seasonal shows and, like, watching some trailers. Just to, you know, maybe there's some stuff that, just based off, like, a still image, you know, I never would have thought to jump down. And then the week after that, I'm trying to coax a couple people. I'd like to do kind of like a year in review so far, just a couple different things, a couple of the people. And so, like I said, I have some pet projects. I don't just want the pod to sit for a month while you're gone. Yeah. I'd like to do some stuff. So please check back in every on the normal schedule.
So to that end, like, please follow us on Instagram and on TikTok mm-hmm. at Part-Time Otaku Podcast. I imagine the stuff Grant's doing probably on Instagram, posts, stories. So just like, you know, follow us there, much appreciated. And if he ends up setting us up on Twitch, links will be there and in the bio on Instagram and all that stuff, or in stories or whatever. Be on the social media and just stay tuned, as they mm-hmm. say. Otherwise, thank you for listening. I will see you guys when I get back. I'll have all kinds of Japan stories and memorabilia.
So excited for
it. Yeah, it should be fun, man. And yeah, maybe do a Japan review. I just let everybody know. I don't know.
Yeah, dude, Japan it's review. Gonna happen. Whether group chat, phone call, and the pod door.
Yeah, get it all. But it should be really fun, and we're very excited. And thanks to everybody for listening, and stay tuned for more. I think that's it, right, Grant?
Yes, sir.
All right, you may go ahead. Stay tuned.
Bye, guys.